you this morning that as I was preparing this, I knew this was going to go probably two parts, and I'm going to kind of review. The first point of my message was going to be the longest, and I almost basically got through that this morning, but I'm going to get to the other two points tonight. But the title of my message is Extravagant Love. Extravagant Love. Of course, we see that picture here of extravagant love here in this passage. Of course, that word extravagant, it means extremely or excessively. I mentioned earlier today that you cannot love God enough. You cannot love God enough. And verse 1 and 2, I talked about how these verses show hatred towards our Savior. They couldn't stand Jesus. They were religious Jews, if you will. They could not, they were fed up with Jesus and his preaching. These people were angry. They were under conviction by the preaching of the Word of God. And you know, preaching does expose sin. And when that happens, that's why people do not like preaching. People don't like truth simply because they don't like the exposure of sin or their hypocrisy, if you will. These people are angry because they were so-called spiritual godly men, if you will, and Jesus proved them to be phonies. And they made a fool of them. Jesus made a fool of them through his preaching, and they wasn't going to stand for that. So at the end of the day, they were frustrated with him, and they wanted to take him by craft. They wanted to try to trick him or trap him, and they wanted to kill Jesus. Then we see, as we flip the coin over just a few verses down, we see a lady by the name of Mary who lives in Bethany. And of course, this is one of Jesus' favorite locations in his earthly ministry. Three of his closest friends live there: Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And but we see the other side. We don't see the hate here. We see the opposite side, if you will, of human nature and how it is at its best here. It's a picture of extravagant love. This lady Mary, who loved Jesus very, very much. She went and got an ointment. The Bible says she took a bottle of ointment. Very, very expensive ointment. The Bible said calls it very precious. And she went and got it. I don't know. I kind of think maybe she was maybe spent her whole life savings, if you will. Maybe spent saved up through her life for this, for her own burying, if you will. It's a very expensive ointment. The Bible says it was around 300 pence, which in today's economy is about $20,000. Okay, very, very wealthy gift, if you will. Very, very expensive gift. But we see the demonstration of an extravagant love. She did not hold back. She went, she took that ointment. Jesus, the Bible says here in our passage, was sitting there at meat. They were fellowshipping together. They were eating supper or fellowshipping. There were some that were there, the Bible says, in verse number 4, and there were some that had indignation. So the sum was compiled, if you will, of the disciples. Jesus' disciples were there. Maybe there were some others there as well, but they were fellowshipping together. They were eating a meal, and Mary came out in verse number 3. We see this demonstration in action and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. We see the town that it was in and the place that it was in, the house. As he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box. Mary came out with that alabaster box, that very expensive ointment. She went ahead and broke that ointment. And again, I happen to think that she broke it. You know, I was thinking, there's a cap on there. Obviously, there's a cap on there. Why didn't she just do it the easy way and just pour that expensive ointment on Jesus' head and on his feet? I'm just going to say this. I'm going to launch out a little bit and say, I think she wanted to make sure that every single drop got on Jesus. I think she wanted to make sure that the best that she had got on Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that she went ahead and anointed. You see the sacrifice of the demonstration. She anointed Jesus, dumping it on his head. Matthew and John talks about how it was she put some of the contents on his head and put some on his feet and broke that very, very expensive bottle of ointment for Jesus. Why did Mary do this? Was she trying to impress? You know, and I mentioned today, you know what, if we're not careful, you know, Mary, by the way, was not trying to impress anybody. You know, Mary did this, I believe, totally. You read this and you really study this out. You know, she loved with her heart. She wanted to give the very best to the best. And she loved with her heart. But sometimes people, you know, we got the folks that look right for the day, if you will, maybe Sunday, and all dressed up right and got the hair just in place and got the King James Bible in hand and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, the rest of the week, they're nowhere to be found near the Bible. They won't pick up their Bible. The Bible gets placed on a shelf, and it's not even, Jesus is not even acknowledged. But and sometimes if we're not careful in our Christianity, we'll go ahead and do things to impress and so forth. But Mary was not this way. She was not trying to impress. She was just trying to prove her love to her Savior. I think this anointing, this act of anointing, I made several statements this morning, make several statements about who Mary was. Number one, she was making a statement about her commitment to him. She was not turning back. You know, I got thinking, maybe she was, did she second guess? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say whether she second guessed or not, but the truth of the matter is, she did it. She went ahead, broke the bottle, and she anointed Jesus. She got the best, and she gave the best to the best, if you will. There was no turning back. She was totally committed to Jesus Christ. There was no turning back. Number two, we find that she was making a statement of his value to her. She maybe saved her entire life this bottle of ointment for her own burial, but I see a gal here breaking that bottle and wanted to make sure every drop of that bottle got on Jesus Christ. And she was saying that you mean more, Jesus, than anything in the world. You mean more than anyone in the world. And I think that she was making a statement of his value to her. No amount of money, no amount of stuff mattered. Jesus, you are special to me. I'll stop and ask the Sunday night crowd, how much does Jesus mean to you? How much does he mean to you? Does he mean enough that you'd go ahead and go get the most expensive bottle of ointment that you may have on a shelf somewhere, or give of the most precious of your time? Does he mean that much to you that you go ahead and give your time to him, that you give your treasure to him, that you give your talents to him? Hey, how much does Jesus mean to you? Hey, you know what? We see a picture here of a lady, a godly lady, who is an epitome of how we as Christians ought to be. She gave the very best to Jesus Christ. She was making a statement about her value to herself. By this act of demonstrating that she was demonstrating that Jesus meant more to her than anything, and more to her than her own reputation. I mentioned this morning, back in this time, she proved her love in two ways. First, only prostitutes were seen in public with their hair down. Now, the Bible says in John, the account of this story, that she anointed, or she washed Jesus' feet with her hair. So, you know what? She had to take her hair down and so forth. What I'm saying, you know what? She was not worried. You know what? Can you just imagine when she took, I don't know, maybe at first when they were sitting at meat there, fellowshipping, she came out with that alabaster box. I don't know if she went ahead and had her hair up in a bun or not at that particular time. But can you imagine when she break the bottle, you know, all of a sudden the gasps? You know, I can't believe she went ahead and did that. You know, we'll see that in just a moment. That's my main point here in just a couple minutes. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? And she goes ahead and kneels down at Jesus. You know, another way she proved her love was only slaves washed the feet of others. And when a person came to your home, you offered water so they could wash their own feet. Or if you had slaves, you'd have them wash the feet. But Mary took the place of a slave, and she humbled herself before him, taking that hair down, if you will. And can you just see the critical, can you just see the pharisaical attitude? Oh, she put her hair down. You know, she was not worried about her reputation. She was making a statement about the value of her possessions. Again, I mentioned quite a bit this morning, stuff did not get in the way of her service to Jesus Christ. She was making a statement about his worthiness to be worshiped and served. She was thankful to Christ. She was thankful because he saved her. She was thankful because he was her redeemer. He saved her soul from hell, and she was filled with love for that act. Let me just stop and say this. You think about where you'd be going tonight had not someone showed you the precious gospel. You'd be heading for hell. Boy, if you go ahead and think of that, boy, your heart ought to just fill up and swell up with love for your Savior. Because you're not doomed for hell tonight. You know what? She was thankful that he saved her soul, and her heart was filled with love. She no doubt was thankful about the fact that he raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. I think she was overwhelmed with love that she was willing to give up all in one act of selfless, extravagant love. I think she believed that Jesus obviously was going to the cross soon. And I think she caught a hold of a truth that the disciples who were sitting there did not catch a hold of. She knew that Jesus was going to go ahead and die. And as far as she knew, this was probably going to be the last time that she could serve Jesus in that way. And I mentioned this morning, boy, you know what? You ought to seize every opportunity to serve God. You ought to seize every opportunity. Just don't go, I'll do it later. You know, truth be told, later never comes. You know, I'll pray later. No. You say that, you know what? Later will never come. I'll read my Bible later. No. It won't happen later. The truth of the matter is, you know, the old devil just knows how to get to us Christians. If we go ahead and we put off the right thing, he's going to make dead sure that you're not going to get back to doing that right thing. He's going to make dead sure that you won't get to that Bible, the King James Bible. He's going to make sure that you don't find yourself on bended knee to a holy Savior. He's going to make dead sure, I'll go to church when I get a chance. You know, when you get a chance, it never comes. Truth of the matter is, you know what, I think she realized that this might be the last time that she could serve Jesus. Let me just tell you something. Boy, you ought to seize every opportunity. She was seizing an opportunity while she had it. She made it count for God's glory. When was the last time you offered the Lord an offering of this kind of love? When was the last time you broke the bank in worshiping him? When was the last time you put all pride aside and gave him the adoration and a praise like Mary did here? When was the last time you selflessly served the Lord who saved your soul from hell? How long has it been that you placed everything you have, everything you are, and everything you care about on the altar of sacrifice before God? When you do this, you know, when you go ahead and you decide, hey, all my possessions, all my money, everything, all that I am, all that I ever will be, I lay it before God. You know what you're telling the Lord Jesus Christ? We don't always see that kind of love anymore. Very few love Jesus the way that Mary does. The truth is, we have our own agenda. We're comfortable Christians, if you will. You know, we're very spoiled today, aren't we? We really do have the finest of everything. Again, I'm not against prosperity. I'm not against stuff and so forth. I just get frustrated when stuff goes ahead and keeps us from doing right. But the truth of the matter is, we're not always willing to go ahead and give up things for our Lord Jesus Christ. We look at our life in the light of Mary's statement of faith. Are we totally committed to Jesus Christ? Are we willing to go ahead and show an extravagant kind of love like she bestowed? Is Jesus more valuable to you than things that you have in possession of in your life? Are you willing to go ahead and give up all so that you can express that kind of love? The truth is, not many are anymore. Is he worth more to you than your pride? Have you reached a place in your walk where the world does not determine what you do and do not do for God? You know, oftentimes we'll go ahead, what we do for God, sometimes we determine by the world's standards. Well, if I do this, the world's going to go ahead and laugh at me. Go ahead and let them laugh. By the way, you've got the last word. I read the book of Revelation. Guess what? We win. We win. You know, go ahead and let the world laugh. We shouldn't go ahead and compromise because the world may laugh at us. We shouldn't go ahead and compromise because the world thinks it's stupid, if you will. What I'm trying to say here, you know, are you willing to suffer shame for the glory of God? You know, what the lost world desperately needs is our expression of an extravagant love for God again. What the world needs is our churches to fall head over heels in love with God again. You know, far too many are like the fellow I read about. He called his girlfriend and said, "Darling, I love you. I would climb the highest mountain for you. I would swim the deepest river for you. I would fight a jungle full of lions for you. I love you so much. And if it doesn't rain tonight, I'll come over and see you." You know, that's kind of how we love God. Too often we love the Lord when it's convenient to us. We love him between 10:45 and 12 o'clock p.m. on a Sunday morning. We love him when loving him fits our schedule. You know, we should not be prompted to move on our schedule. We should be prompted to move on the Holy Spirit's schedule. Truth is, we love him when loving him does not get in the way of what we want to do or where we want to go or what we want to accomplish in life. We love him to a point, but when we have to give up something, that's about where the love stops. You know what? See a lady here that was willing to go ahead and give up all. Give up the very best for her Savior. We treat church attendance as optional. Only if I have time. We throw a dollar in the plate and think we've given. We love the Lord. We love our lives on our schedule and by our own rules. And we are saying, well, we live our lives, if you will, on our schedule and by our own rules to say that we live for God. We fuss and gripe about everything in the world, and we want everyone to know how committed a Christian that we are. And when the bottom line is, we really are just as hypocritical as the Sadducees and the Pharisees that we read earlier today in verses 1 and 2. You know, are you ashamed of Christ this evening? We ought not be ashamed. You know, Mary was not ashamed of Jesus Christ. She was willing to give all for the glory of God. We saw the demonstration, then we see the discouragement of an extravagant love. Verses number 4 and 5, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. You know, just about the time that you do anything right, there's always somebody that's going to criticize. There's always going to be somebody that's going to go ahead and put a little pressure on. Say, why do you want to go ahead and do that? You don't want to go ahead and do that. You see the discouragement of an extravagant love here. The demonstration course was wonderful, but some words were uttered that should not have been uttered. They were uttered by the disciples. Jesus called men. They were uttered, this is a waste, Mary. I can't believe that you'd go ahead and take the very best ointment and pour it on Jesus' head. The truth is, I learned from this passage that not everyone appreciates the kind of adoration that Mary was given to our Savior. Listen to me, church. He deserves all praise tonight. He deserves all your love tonight. He deserves all your adoration tonight. Some people think that their calling in life is to go ahead and be as cheap to Jesus as possible. Let me tell you something. Jesus wasn't cheap to us. He gave every single fiber of his life to us, and he died on that cross for us. Yet we just want to give just a little bit. But we see a young lady here who says, you know what? I don't know what I have. I don't have much in this house. I don't have much here. But you know, I got an alabaster box, and I'll go ahead and I'll give the very best that I have to the one who deserves the best, and that's Jesus Christ. The Bible says there were those, some standing by. They were moved with indignation. In other words, they were very displeased. Like I said, you want to live for God, you know what? There's going to be people displeased with you. You want to step up and you want to serve God, teenager. You know what? You better watch out for that crowd. I remember when I was called to preach, some of my so-called friends who were so-called church teenagers, they mocked me. I was a teenager. You want to go ahead and be a preacher? You want to go to Houser's or college? They mocked me. Let me tell you something. Mockery, criticism come from both sides. And there'll be someone that'll be moved with indignation, and the devil go ahead, it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's the world or whether it's so-called religious crowd, the devil go ahead and try to use people to try to move you away from doing the perfect will of God. Hey, you know what? Mary went ahead and gave her best, and there were some people, and by the way, there were some so-called godly men. I said, I can't believe you did that, Mary. What a waste. They weren't happy with Mary. Matthew, as I mentioned before, Matthew's account said it's the disciples. It doesn't say it here, but Matthew said it was the disciples who spoke out against it. They went ahead and said it was a waste. That means utterly destroyed or ruined. I can't believe you took that. You ruined it, Mary. You ruined it. $20,000 worth, 300 pence. You ruined it. You poured it upon Jesus. You could have gone ahead and sold it and given it to the poor. Just stop and say this, it's no waste pouring your life upon Jesus. I just say it is no waste pouring your life upon Jesus. You're here tonight, there's no waste you being in church on a Sunday night. There's no waste you being in church on a Wednesday night. There's no waste of being in church on a Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:45, and Sunday morning service at 10:45. Hey, you know what? You didn't waste your life going out on that bus route this morning. You know what? Hey, you know what? As a matter of fact, you poured it upon Jesus when you did that. You gave the very best of your life to Jesus. Hey, that was no waste. There was no waste of you being in a Sunday school class. But I'm saying, you go to Sunday school, you know what you're doing? You know what you're demonstrating? You're pouring it on to Jesus. You're saying, God, you deserve me. You deserve my time. You deserve me being in a Sunday school class. Your church attendance, you just keep on pouring it on. Your soul winning, you pour it on to Jesus. Your youth ministry, you pour it on. That choir, you pour it on. You say, I can't sing, then try to sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Bible reading, you pour it on. Say, gee, you know what? You get up in the morning, you open up your Bible. You know what that's saying to Jesus? I love you. Find yourself on bended knee. You know what that's saying to Jesus? I love you. Find yourself in a church service Sunday morning. You know what that's saying to Jesus? I love you. Find yourself putting a tenth of your income in an offering plate as it goes by. You know what that's saying to Jesus? I love you. You know what? You find yourself on a Saturday in a hot day when it's about 95 degrees and you're sweating. That's me, by the way. I go home soaked. I'm a sweater. Not the clothing material. I'm just a sweater. As a matter of fact, I know some of you are a little chilly tonight. I'm hot, okay? I mean, anyways. Let's move along here a little bit, but you find yourself out soul winning on a Saturday. You know what you're telling Jesus? I love you. If you're a teenager, you find yourself in a youth group Tuesday evenings here at 4:40, learning how to be a soul winner, knocking on doors, passing out tracts. Grabbed the wrong card at first. Passing them out. You know what that's saying? Jesus, I love you. Show up at 6:30, youth group meeting. Jesus, I love you. Just go ahead and stop and say this. You want to go ahead and do right, though. There's always going to be somebody that criticizes. And then, you know what? And sometimes the criticism might get so bad that you may come to a point of decision. What do I do? You know, let me just say this. Your preacher says, and the Bible says, do right and just go with the right crowd. Go with the right crowd. You know, pour it on Jesus. Pour it on Jesus, despite what the world says. Give your best to God. Well, the disciples, some of the religious people, even some people in the church may say, this is a waste. No, you just keep pouring it on. You know, Mary saw it so much more than that. Break. I love you. You mean more to me than this bottle of expensive ointment. You mean more to me than anything. All that I am, all that I ever hope to be, God, I'm yours. You mean so much to me. That's what Mary was saying. I love you, Jesus. You know, John 12, I'm sorry. 4 and 5, turn there. John chapter 12, it's a John writing about this same incident. John chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? You see, Judas of the 12 was the treasurer. He was the money guy, if you will. And, you know, here he was, I find the indication here that he started the critical tone. You know, he goes ahead, of course, it indicates Judas Iscariot here, the treasurer of the group. He calculated what that perfume was worth. You know, he was the money guy. I'm not likening Rick to that, but you're back there. Now, listen, Rick, you know what I'm telling you. You punched the numbers and so forth, and he was the treasurer. He calculated what that perfume was worth. He then, along with the rest, I think I'm going to just launch out here. I think maybe he kind of pulled them in. You know what? To me, as I was reading this scripture here, you know, to me, the red flag about Judas just started coming up. You know what? You know, Jesus had not gone to the cross yet. He had not verbally gone ahead and necessarily, of course, betrayed Jesus. And he's going to go ahead and do that. But you know what? You know what? Listen, the red flag comes up about Judas here. You know what? All of a sudden, he goes ahead and says, you know what? He says in verse number 6, this he said, meaning Judas, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. You know, he went ahead, verse number 5, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? You know, he calculated it out. He says it's worth 300 pence. He, along with the rest, I kind of think maybe he pulled them in. They kind of gave ear to Judas, and he went ahead and said, you know what, this could have gone ahead and been given to the poor. Then he said in 12:6, Judas, talking about Judas, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Judas says what should have been done. You know, there's always somebody, well, we should have done it this way. And Judas says what should have been done. And you know what? The other 11 spiritual got drug into that and had indignation upon the one. You know, I just kind of saying, you know, there's just, to me, there's something to say. You better watch out for the wrong crowd. You know, I think there was already... Personally, I think there was already a cloud over Judas' head here. You know, the problem, of course, Judas was a thief. The Bible says so right here. If the ointment would have been sold, Judas got the money as a treasure. Only a small portion, listen to me, only a small portion would have probably been given to the poor, and the rest of the money would have lined his pockets. Hey, the Bible says he was a thief. But you know, the sad thing is, here was Mary, who loved Jesus more than anything. Her love was misunderstood. By the way, yours will be too. Her love was misinterpreted by the disciples. They ridiculed it. Said, this is a waste. They tried to make her feel bad. I got to thinking, why would the disciples of all people do this? You know, I got to thinking, why? Perhaps they did not have the same heart of love for Jesus as Mary did. Maybe it's because they didn't think of it first. But they perhaps didn't have the same love for Jesus as Mary did. I think they fell to the wrong crowd here. And they were upset because they did not think that Jesus was worthy of the same kind of love that she thought he deserved. Listen to me. Jesus deserves your best. Don't you let some crowd out there tell you that this isn't worth it. Young people, don't you let some crowd out there at the public school tell you, and you know, maybe they will make fun of you. They will mock at you, but you stand anyways. Jesus stood. Paul stood. All great men of God stood. All great ladies of God stood. You will be mocked at because of your Christian life. You will be mocked at because you want to live clean and pure and walk down an aisle clean and virgin. You'll be mocked at by the world because that's not popular today. Fool with that. It's right. And teenager and young people, you may go ahead and have a little bit of pressure from the world. The peer pressure may go ahead and be a little heavy at times. But listen to me. You get yourself for the right crowd. Don't you buckle to the world. And you have, the Bible says, you put on the whole armor of God, having done all to stand. You stand with Christ. You know what? And let me just turn that coin over a little bit. You know what, adults? We have pressure too, don't we? You know, we have pressure from the world, from the sports world. You don't want to go to church on Sunday night. You know, one time a year we have the big Super Bowl Sunday. It's sad that the Super Bowl will go ahead and take many Christians out of church where they ought to be. Is a Super Bowl that important? By the way, you know what? At the end of the day, okay, yeah, rah, 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 rah. I'm not a very good cheerleader, okay? But you know what? Your team won. But you know what? Come Monday morning, you won't really care. We'll go ahead and we'll fall prey to something that really, that definitely 5 minutes after rapture is not a big deal. Hey, listen, we ought to be careful. See the same mentality today. People give themselves in many avenues of life. Some will give themselves to money, and people call them a success. Others will give themselves to sports, and they become star athletes, and people will call them heroes. Some will give them to themselves to politics, and they'll be called great civic leaders. While others will go ahead and give themselves to academics, and people talk about how wonderful and how intellectual and smart they are. You know, I've seen this through the years. You take a young, talented man or woman who goes forward at a youth conference, at a service, Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of their heart. They get up and they give themselves to a life of service for God. And people will say, and the world will say, and the so-called spiritual giants will go ahead and say, what a waste. You know, when I was called to preach, when I graduated from Bible College, Howells Aronson, I worked in downtown Chicago. My boss, he liked me very well, and I was on maintenance at these big high-rise apartments, presidential towers there, right down the heart of the city. He goes ahead, and I turned my two-week notice, and this no joke, he went ahead and said, listen, I've been sitting here thinking, I knew you were going to be turning in your notice. His name's Sergio, and knew you've been going to be turning in your notice. And he went ahead and he wrote down an offer. He says, listen, I'll go ahead and I'll raise you this much. I'll do all this. You'll get these benefits. You'll do this, boom, boom, boom. I mean, it was really amazing. It was amazing. He says, you know, I want you to stay here. And number one, I thank God for that. I thank God that he could count on me. That's the way it should be, by the way. I thank God. And I went ahead and I sat down across from him. I turned and I said, Sergio, as much as, you know, I said it like this, my flesh would love to take it. I said, I can't do that. He says, I just don't get you. He says, you've worked here 3 years and, you know, you've been working up the corporate ladder, so to speak. You got raises and stuff. I don't get why you would turn away this and go into the ministry. He goes ahead and he says, let me just ask, how much are you going to make going into the ministry? I said, you know what, truth be told, I've never been in full-time ministry. I don't know. He says, surely it's probably not as much as this. I said, you know, probably not. I said, my God will supply all my needs. My God will take care of me. You know what? The pressure from the world was, you know, a good situation, if you will. But the pressure was there for me to go ahead and throw everything God had for his will, for my God's perfect will, out the window and settle for second best. Now listen, I didn't want to settle for second best. Now I stand here behind this pulpit tonight and I say, I'm glad I didn't settle for second best. You know, I could have. I'm glad that I didn't settle for second best. Thank God that I got to work 10 years full-time for my home preacher in Maine, in my home state, for 10 years. Thank God for another whole education that I got. You know, I'm glad I didn't settle for second best. Thank God for the bus routes that I got to start in Maine and the kids I used to preach to in Maine at that particular time, see the soul saved. You know, I'm glad I didn't settle for second best. Thank God for the teenagers that I got to work with through the years, and many of them going on into full-time Christian service and graduating from Bible college, going off into the ministry. You know, I'm glad I didn't settle for second best. I thank God, and I mean this with all my heart. February 10th, 2008, I stood behind this pulpit for the first time, became the pastor of Faith Baptist Church. I look out tonight and say, I'm glad I didn't settle for second best. I'm glad I'm not downtown Chicago tonight. Thank God. Working downtown Chicago, fighting the Dan Ryan traffic. I know you're from that area, brother. I'm sorry. Fighting the Dan Ryan traffic. Glad I didn't settle for second best. I'm glad that we have seen this, you know, I'm glad we saw 27 souls saved a couple weeks ago at VBS. I'm glad that we brought some boys and girls in from two different bus routes, two different areas today. Glad I didn't settle for second best. I'm glad I get to pastor you. Glad I get to pastor your kids. I'm glad I got to have seen so far in the last couple years some of your teenagers stand up and say, you know what, I want to go into full-time Christian service. I'm glad of that. I'm glad I didn't go ahead and throw it away. I'm glad I didn't, in essence, listen to the world and say, you know what, that's a waste. This is no waste. You know, let me just say this, and whatever you're doing for God, it's no waste. Mama and Daddy, listen to me, you got some precious kids in your home. You raising them up for Jesus Christ is no waste. You being faithful to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and them little eyes that God has given you to raise for the cause of Christ, and they see your faithfulness, and they see maybe you going through some tough times, and they see you bending down on knee and saying, God, we're going to trust you. We know that you're there. I'm not going to get discouraged, or I'm not going to go ahead and quit. The valleys may come, but you stay faithful, and you stay strong, and you stay true to God, and you say, I'm going to go ahead and continue to give my best to Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep on keeping on, whether it be the best, whether it be the mountaintop, it's no waste. It is no waste. But when you go ahead, if you come to that moment of decision and the peer pressure comes, what will you decide? Oh, I've seen the other side too. I just can't take it, preacher. So I'm done with the church. I'm done with God's will. Yeah, I was called to preach, but I'm done with that. I'm not going to go that way. I just can't take it. Today, their life oftentimes is a mess. You know why? Because they thought they were going to find something better, but never found it. Never found it. You know, there's no waste. You know, you're a talented young man, young woman, you stood up and you said, you know what, I'm going to mission field, I'm going to be a preacher, I'm going to be a preacher's wife, I'm going to be a soul winner, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, whatever the case may be, it's no waste. We have teens and young people here pursuing after God tonight, after God's will for their life. As I mentioned a moment ago, some of you are called to preach and preacher's wives and whatever the case may be. You know, I'm going to challenge you again, young people, to keep on pressing on. Mom and dads, you know what? Yeah, sometimes it's tough raising them kids, isn't it? Oh, yeah. All the devices that the world has to offer through the tube and Hollywood and all that other junk out there, it's sometimes pretty tough. You know, I want you to know there's a preacher behind you saying, keep on pressing on. They need you, mom and dad, to read the Bible. They need you to stand true with God. They need you to be in your place in church. They need you to be faithful to the local church. They need you in your place. Don't let the world entice you and destroy God's perfect plan for your life. You just keep on pressing on. You know, you know what success is? It's not money. That's for sure. I have none. But you know what true success is? Finding the will of God and doing it. If you want to be a successful Christian, whoever you may be here tonight, stay right smack dab in the middle of God's will. Okay, you're a member of Faith Baptist Church, and you say, I believe this is where God wants me to be. You know what? You're a success tonight. You know, I'm pastor of Faith Baptist Church. You know what? I'm right smack dab in the center of God's will. You know, I'm not bragging that I'm a success, but you know, according to God, in God's eyes, I believe I'm a success because I'm right where God wants me to be. Success is finding God's will doing it. Follow God. You know, listen, whoever you are, teenagers, you keep following God, and you've got this preacher going to back you up. I'll always be here backing you up. I'm not the greatest cheerleader, and you don't want me doing the rah-rah and so forth, but you can bet, bring that little officer, I'm on my knees, I'm praying for you, saying, you keep on going! You keep on following God's call for your life! You keep on, you live clean and pure, don't rub up against all the guys and gals and destroy your purity! Hey, you come to the marriage altar clean and pure! Hey, you know what? You can guarantee, you know what? You want to be a success, and all the world may go ahead and try to break that down, but you can bet there's at least one cheerleader that's in that office consistently on his knees saying, I'm cheering you on. You just keep on pressing on. You just keep on going on for Jesus Christ, and don't you turn back, and you always give God your best. You always give God your best.
Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Some call it a waste. There are some here that did. People that shouldn't have even said it. Said, that's a waste, Mary. You know what? I like Mary's response. There was none. There was none. You know, sometimes when the pressure comes, sometimes when we get mocked at, we sometimes feel like, I'm going to have the last word, bless God. No. Let them talk. Let them say whatever they want to say. But you do right anyways. There was, to my knowledge, there was no response from Mary's end. And then we see, and I'll move on, I'm done with this. Then we see the defense of extravagant love. You know what? Jesus stepped up and defended her. Now let me just stop and say this. When you know someone's doing right, and you see, let me talk to the leaders a minute, moms and dads leaders a minute. When you know that someone's doing right, and someone's attacking them, you know, be the kind of Christian leader that steps up and defends that individual. You know, sometimes we don't want to get involved. By the way, that's what a leader is supposed to be. You know, you see another Christian hurting, you see another Christian attacked and so forth. And by the way, listen to me, I'm not saying you go ahead and open up some paper and publish it and so forth. No. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. But you know, sometimes within the church, you know, I'll see a young teenager, I'll see someone kind of getting attacked and mocked at, well, you're doing right and so forth. I'll see it. You know what? I'm going to kindly step up. I'm going to defend that individual. You know, listen, and if that individual that's attacked because they're doing right sees that the Christian leader that should go ahead and step in and they don't do anything, you know what? What does that think? What do they think? What do they think? You know, the preacher or the youth leader or whatever the case may be, the bus captain, they didn't even step up and even give me a shot. They just kind of ignored it. You know, Christian leadership is stepping up and maybe encouraging and defending those who are attacked. We see the defense. You know, Jesus stepped up. He hears the mockery and he hears what the others said. In verse number, let's turn back to Mark chapter 14. I'm going to just read a few scriptures here. He comes to a defense. He makes several statements that make it clear that that he willingly receives the love that he's given her, that she's giving him. These statements make it clear that he saw her sacrifice for what it was, and that it definitely was an extravagant gift of love. Mark chapter 14, 6, the Bible says, Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." I think Jesus, you know, no doubt Jesus who called these disciples, I'm sure his heart was grieved when he heard, why are you wasting this, Mary? I'm sure his heart must have been grieved. You know, his heart was knitted with these guys. Yet the guys that should have stepped up and says, go for it, Mary, they didn't. And I kind of can't help but think, what did Jesus think? What did Jesus think here? I think maybe he might have been grieved by the attitude of his men. Mary gave all and they gave nothing. She gave him the best. And they called it nothing but a waste. He said, let her alone. Leave her alone. You know, sometimes we may have to do that. You know what? When someone's being, leave them alone. Mark 14, verse 7, he also says this, for ye have the poor always with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but ye have not always. Jesus is saying that, by the way, Jesus is not here saying that we shouldn't help the poor. He's not saying that at all. You know, we ought to go ahead and help anybody that's in need. But you know what? You know what? But Mary did the wise thing. What she did was she seized the moment. She seized that moment of service. She knew that he would not always be here. So she took the opportunity that she had. I said it a few moments ago, take the opportunities to serve. God's given you the ability to witness. God has gone ahead and given you, prompted you, if you will, to witness. Then witness. Serve him. He's given you the opportunity to give, give. He's given you the time to serve, then serve him. You know, he's given your kids to raise for the cause of Christ, and raise them upright. Raise them upright. Don't put it off. Then verse number 14, I'm going to land with this. 14:8. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. You know, there's not a lot Mary could do. She didn't have time. Of course, there was already a meal prepared for him, but she didn't have time to prepare a meal. She didn't have time to go ahead and make him some nice garment. She didn't have time to go, or she could not, if you will, go to the place of Gethsemane or Calvary for Jesus. She could not go ahead and take the shame and the reproach that Jesus was going to go ahead and face. She could not go ahead and take the rejection and the hatred and the other pains that Jesus was going to face. There was not a lot that she could do. She could do one thing. She could take the very best that she had at that time and give it to Jesus Christ. She went. I don't know if it was me. Jesus is in the house. What an honor. You know, I don't know. Maybe she was what can I give Jesus? I got this alabaster box. I saved a long time for it, but it's the best that I got, and I'm going to give it to Jesus Christ. Jesus rises to the defense, and he says, she hath done what she could. Let me ask you a question. Have you done what you could for Jesus Christ? Is there some area, I don't know. Okay, listen, we all can search our hearts, and listen, there's not a one of us that can say, well, you know what? I've arrived! We've all fallen short. But my encouragement to you tonight, my challenge to you tonight is this. What more could you do? Could you find a little more time? You know, just a little more time of Bible reading. Could you find yourself faithful in church? I mean, just, you know, okay, I gotta play, you know, I just gotta be there. Could you find yourself in a ministry? Could you find yourself during the week or on a Saturday outdoor knocking, trying to win little boys and girls and win families to Jesus Christ? What more can you do? Maybe, you know, and I'm not saying spread yourself thin and hurt yourself. I'm not saying that. But you know what? I'll admit, I did some soul searching this week. You know, I could step up a little more. I could do some more. Because Jesus, I want to give you my best. Jesus, Sean Weeks, man. Little, big old, fat old Sean Weeks. I'm not much. I'm not very eloquent. I'm not much. But I'll give you what I got. I'll give you more time. Give you more Bible time. Give myself more study time. I'll give you more time in study, more soul winning. Because God, I want to give you my best. Because God, you gave me your best, didn't he? Think about it. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, our Heavenly Father. God, I don't know what you're doing tonight, Holy Spirit. But I do know this. I want a church here, Faith Baptist Church, that we'll give our best to you. Lord, I'd like to be a church that extravagantly loves you. I'd like to be the church that will do everything we can to pour our life out to you, because only one life so soon will be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. God, I know that time is short. I believe that it could be any day, Jesus, you're going to come and get us. And right now is a time for every single one of us to perhaps step up in our Christian life in some area. I don't know what it is. Holy Spirit, you do. You know what you're doing in hearts right now. But I pray, dear God, that we be the extravagant love kind of Christian. I pray, dear God, that we be the extravagant love kind of church. And always be mindful that you deserve our best of everything that we have. God, I again submit to you my all, everything I have, everything I ever hope to be. God, I give it to you. Give you my time. Give you what I got. God, I want to extravagantly love you. What a lesson we learn from this lady. First part of that chapter, when you are hated, God. Lord Jesus, they want to go ahead and kill you. But I thank God as we read on, there's a picture of a lady here. There's a portrait of a lady here. That says, I don't have much, but I can give him the very best that I have. Because I love you, Lord Jesus. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. The music's going to play in just a moment. I just ask you, maybe it was a little repetitious. Some areas were a little repetitious tonight from this morning. Tried not to be too repetitious here and so forth, but let me just say this, church, you can never give God enough love. You can never give God enough. I want to challenge you tonight. Could you give him a little bit more? Can you give him a little more of your time? Is there some area in your life that the Holy Spirit's working? I don't know what it is. But maybe in just a moment, as the music plays, in just a moment, you just need to come forward and just lay it out and say, God, I got to reset some priorities. I've got to reset some things in my life. And whatever it is, why don't you go ahead and as the music plays, don't go ahead and linger. Don't just go ahead and sit there with your hands in the front, on the front pew. And say, you know, if you need to move tonight, maybe you just need to come forward and say, Jesus, I love you. I don't know. Maybe reset some priority. I don't know what it is. But the music's going to play. You just step out if you need to move tonight. take your hymnal. This is what we close with every weekend. This song here, hymn number 300. Maybe you all know it by now. We've sung it for quite a while now. Hymn number 300. We'll take time and sing all three verses of Take the Name of Jesus With You. And we'll close with this song. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of